Hey guys, welcome back to Skincare Anarchy. This is your host, Dekta. I'm really excited about our episode today because I get to introduce you guys to a brand that I have been really fascinated with because the science is so innovative and it's so cutting edge, but we're really working with something that, you know, is providing efficacy on every single level when you think about skin health. So without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to our two esteemed guests, Dr. David LaFelle, who is a distinguished dermatology advisor and chief of dermatologic surgery at Yale School of Medicine. He has over 40 years of expertise in the field of dermatology and is renowned for his contributions to skin cancer diagnosis, treatment, and prevention. Dr. LaFelle has developed rigorous testing protocols that have been utilized by Symphonic MD, which is the wonderful brand that we're going to be discussing today. And he holds patents in skin laser methods and skin cancer genes and has trained numerous professionals in the field of dermatologic surgery. Dr. LaFelle's work is extensively published, and he's just such a leader in this entire area of medical science. Literally wrote the book, you know, on dermatology. He's the first one to come to mind. And joining him is Cherry Robinson, the visionary founder and general manager of Symphonic MD. Cherry, really, you know, just very well versed, not only the business, but the consumer needs in the beauty industry, and has over 33 years of experience in strategic marketing, product development, and global distribution. She has been instrumental in driving innovation and value in the beauty industry for many years and just has such a robust background. So welcome to the show, Dr. LaFelle and Cherry. I am so honored and humbled to be hosting you both. Huge fan of Symphonic MD. I can't wait to dive in.
Great to be here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I would love to get started. Dr. LaFelle, maybe you could start us off with how you got involved with advising for the brand and the science behind it. I would love to learn a little bit more with how things got started.
Well, a college classmate of mine with whom I've stayed in touch was working for a company, a startup focused on CBD technology, primarily for oral supplements. Mm. And he knew, and I knew, that CBD has been shown to have beneficial effects on the skin. So he contacted me and suggested that we work together on developing a line of skin products that would take advantage of the beneficial effects of CBD. And he and I spoke at length about the opportunity. And it turns out that I knew Cherry from prior interactions when she ran a company that was relatively local here in Connecticut. So it was clear, since I had a day job and didn't have the broad range of expertise in skin product development, that Cherry would be a great addition. So I introduced her to the team and she took off and developed the fundamentals of this skin line that takes advantage of the CBD ingredients.
It's really interesting. I'm excited to dive into the science. And I was wondering, you know, how this all came to be, how you guys met and decided to do this. That's very interesting, Dr. LaFelle. Cherry, if you could tell us a little bit more, what made you want to take on the project, you know, from the business side?
Well, true story. I did know Dr. LaFelle, obviously, from a past life. And he phoned me one day and he said, Cherry, I really want you to meet this group of people. They're the real deal. And I said, well, sure, after I picked myself up off the floor, because you don't partner with anyone. So, and I was quite interested in the research that they were conducting and felt that, as Dr. LaFelle and Dr. Turnoff did as well, that there was a real opportunity here to make a difference. Because in the end of the day, does the world need another skincare brand? And the answer is yes, it does. If at the end of the day, you can accomplish more using less products without triggering sensitivities. And that's really what Symphonic MD does.
Absolutely. No, I think that the science really blows me away when I think about like what is being done here, because I think in the skincare realm, and Dr. Fell, I'm sure you've seen this much more than any of us have, you know, in dermatology, there's a lot of older drugs, you know, and it's older in the sense of like, we always see like, you know, new iterations of pharmaceuticals coming out, you know, in other realms. But in dermatology, there's a lot of tried and true things from the allopathic side. So when I see a brand that's really focused on bringing more stability and bringing more efficacy through that stability, it always like excites me as a consumer, because so many times we have people reach out that are like, well, I can't use such and such active ingredient, or I can't use this because my skin is sensitized. And, you know, there's so many of these questions, right? And that's where, Cherry, to your point, you know, where does the world need a new skincare line? We need great science. So I completely agree. So Dr. LaFell, I would love to have you explain to us, you know, what is the science behind Symphonic's formulations? I know that Bio-A3 is at the heart of everything. If you could kind of dive into that a little bit for us.
Yeah, so fundamentally, it's about the use of cannabidiol. And there is an emerging set of data and evidence that shows that CBDs in general have a beneficial effect on the skin. For example, they have an anti-inflammatory effect. They have an antibacterial effect. And increasingly, we're understanding that the body has internal receptors, endocannabinoid receptors. And the question is, why are they there? So I think we don't have the answer, by the way. I don't want to leave your audience hanging. CBDs, cannabis-derived, hemp-derived compounds have been used in skin products to the point where they've lost any credibility. And they are products that I would say were a flash in the pan because there was no logic behind them. And I think that the formulation that was developed takes advantage of the beneficial effects of the compounds and allows us to do things that we couldn't otherwise do. So as you know, as listeners know, retinoic acid and its related compounds are very tough on the skin. They have significant beneficial effects if you can push through. But why not combine that with an anti-inflammatory compound that in essence is natural in origin? You know, the truth is that I've been on faculty at my institution for almost 4 decades, and there are always solicitations to dermatologists to get involved with skin products. And I've declined until this opportunity came along because I felt that it was interesting and it was important to see if it would actually work and if it actually provided a benefit to consumers. Right. And then, of course, as we mentioned earlier, Cherry was willing to take a risk and come on board. And she was actually instrumental in helping develop the formulation, which, Cherry, maybe you want to chime in about the unique formulation that we have.
Sure. I sort of refer to it as the 3 stages of brand development. And so the first stage is what if? You know, what if we were able to solve whatever the issue is? The second stage is but, and that's the 1,000 reasons why it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And then the third stage is, well, wait a minute, why the hell not? And so what we really looked at was, how can we address the 5 most pressing skin concerns with active ingredients that peer literature already tells us are the most efficacious at dealing at addressing certain conditions, and at the same time do it using less products so we can incorporate them at levels that you wouldn't expect, cocktailed in ways that you wouldn't expect, in order to address these concerns without triggering any sensitivities? And so from our perspective, to Dr. LaFell's point, we weren't on the hunt for what is the latest, greatest, newest ingredient. When you talk about dermocosmetics or cosmeceuticals, there really are 4 pillars of active ingredients, and they are retinoids, vitamin C, peptides, and AHAs. And so each one of those, as efficacious as they are, wonderful as they are, they tend to cause significant sensitivities when people apply them topically. And then, of course, there are a lot of people who just can't benefit from them at all. And so it was really our starting point was to say, what can we do? How can we take these ingredients and combine them to effectively treat the conditions that we would like to address, and to do it without any adverse reactions? And so the first product that Dr. LaFell is referring to is our retinol vitamin C, which really addresses acneic skin blemishes, but not only the blemishes, the rough texture, scarring that's often associated with it, dark discoloration and redness and inflammation. And so the two active ingredients that are the best for that to address those concerns are retinol and vitamin C. Conventional wisdom will tell you they can't be cocktailed together. You have to use retinol at night, vitamin C during the day. It's just not so. And this product can be used twice a day without causing any irritation at all. And that's because of BioA3. And so BioA3 is a biofunctional, which is the cannabinoid, a delivery system, and also a solvent that allows it to be dissolved in the formula. And so what Dr. LaFell was referring to a minute ago was that a lot of skincare brands in the past that incorporated cannabinoids or CBD into their formulation weren't that efficacious. And it's because CBD on its own doesn't really accomplish much. It's more of a bodyguard, if you will, or it acts as a shield. And so what BioA3 does is it accompanies the active ingredients so that they can get to where they need to go in the skin in order to work their magic. And it protects them along the way and makes sure that they don't get degraded. And then, of course, the added benefit is that it remains stable in the formula. It's luxurious and a pleasure to use, and it won't trigger sensitivities in anyone who applies them topically.
That's very interesting. And, you know, I love what we're learning here about the CBD component, because I think when CBD came onto the scene, at least from when I remember it as a consumer, it was exciting because you know that there's going to be something there. Right? I mean, that's what my mind told me, you know, it was that I know this is going to have some sort of benefit. You know, there's some value here. And I remember the first time I used CBD at all in any formulation, it was just the anti-inflammatory impact that it has. You know, that's really what I experienced. But there was nothing else, you know, there was no other really like results or anything that I was noticing. But I feel like that's how so many things in science are, you know, and I think it's been such an interesting thing watching this one ingredient evolve in the industry, because, you know, I think a lot of times in biomedical sciences, you have things that you know about, but then when the whole picture starts to come together, that's when you realize the place that, you know, certain things play, molecules, or, you know, whether it's molecules or different ingredients in general in OTC products. And I think with CBD, that's very fascinating that you were able to leverage it in this way, because there are, like Dr. LaFell said, there are so many receptors all over the body, cannabinoid receptors, you know, even in female systems, we know that there's a huge role it plays in, you know, the uterine lining, but we don't know what it does, you know, so like there's just so much potential, but no one's talking about it. Now, one of my questions, Dr. LaFell, maybe you could answer this question for me, is this idea of like retinol, which Cherry mentioned, you know, with retinol, I always get confused because I know that it has to be able to, one, obviously go through the whole pathway, binding to the receptor, inducing the effects. But what do you think this is doing to retinol overall? I mean, what does it mean to stabilize something like retinol as it's functioning?
I think it's allowing the compound to penetrate and act on the dermis without the adverse effects. And I think that the story of retinoic acid, per se, of course, goes back to Albert Kligman in the 80s. And it was the first compound that was ever actually FDA approved to reverse fine lines and wrinkles. And there's just a side note here, and I'll introduce the idea now. And that is that most of the compounds and the products you're talking about in the past never really had clinical trials of any sort, right? The bar to entry into the skin products industry, so to speak, is very low. And the idea of doing clinical trials is expensive, costs money. And you don't necessarily know what the results of the trials are going to be. The side note that I wanted to mention is that we invested in clinical trials, which were conducted at a leading clinical trial center in Philadelphia that was founded by Albert Kligman and a couple of his colleagues. Those studies we can talk about if you like, you know, confirmed that there was significant subject sense of improvement as well as objective improvement by the investigator. And that was a significant plus for us because we revert to citing that data routinely. You know, and in fact, reputation is everything. If those studies had failed, we probably would not be having this conversation today because having the data to show it does something is critical. Back in the days of CBDs in skincare that you're referring to, what I call the Wild West, there was no validation. You actually didn't know whether CBDs that they said were in the products were actually in the product. But we have a quality control system that's, you know, an industry standard. And what you're told you're getting is what you're getting. And of course, the proof of the pudding is in the eating and it's in the experience of the user.
It's very interesting because you brought up clinical trials, and that's really where I get stuck a lot, you know, with a lot of ingredients, is this idea of people will say, we've done studies. And I'm like, well, what kind of studies did you do? Mm-hmm. You know, and what did you find out? And I think with something like retinol and these tried and true ingredients that, Cherry, you had mentioned, you know, like the hallmarks, the pillars of skin health, you know, with these products, like we have a lot of data, but I feel like for a long time, it's been hard to figure out how to put all that together in a way that's actually, like, you know, propelling us forward. And that's why this is so interesting with the Bio-A3 that has been created here for Symphonix formulations, because I think that, you know, with retinol, me as a consumer, I can't use it more than, say, 2 times a week normally. You know, like anything, it could be tretinoin, it could be retinol, it doesn't matter. It just irritates my skin. And one of the things that I'm curious about is what were those studies, Dr. LaFell, that if you could go into more depth there, because my skin is able to tolerate this, but it can't do it with any other product. So that's why I'm very shocked, you know, at how the skin is reacting to retinol now. It's like a whole different ingredient. That's what it feels like.
Well, it is. And as Cherry mentioned, it's combined with vitamin C, which itself is an acid, and it can be tough on the skin. The studies basically showed, apropos what we're talking about, not only a level of tolerance that reached significance, but evidence of improvement over the course of the study that was meaningful. Now, remember, these are studies that are designed to elicit data about the user experience. And so they're very different than a pharmaceutical industry study to see, you know, what the effects of Ozempic are, in huge controlled populations. But they do represent the standard in the cosmeceutical industry. You know, when you get result in the high percentages of satisfaction and efficacy, when you normally would just see, you know, 10% change, you know, that's meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to know, though, about the concentrations, because a very good point was made earlier about how in smaller concentrations, there's still an impact that's being seen. And this conversation comes up a lot. I think recently it was about niacinamide that I saw it. You know, people were talking about how there are products out here that are like 20%, 10% niacinamide, but really you just need 5%. You know, and then we've also had the conversation about vitamin C, and we've also discussed, you know, this dosing concept a lot now. Was there a significant decrease in the amount that you needed, you know, when you were formulating as compared to like conventional formulations?
That's a very interesting question. And actually, I'm glad that you asked it. So as it relates to the retinol, we are actually at 0.3, which is the highest that you can go from a regulatory perspective. At the vitamin C that we are working with is a very stabilized form of vitamin C, and that's at 5%, but it's a workhorse at 5. So some of the challenges are, again, how they're formulated, but also, and in vitamin C, you've seen it a lot. It's kind of a horsepower war, isn't it? And so people say, well, we're at 20, we're at 30%. It often degrades. And particularly if it's L-ascorbic acid, for example, that's very hydrophobic, doesn't like water, and won't be at that level by the time it hits your skin. So what's really important here is to be able to formulate them in a way that they will be stable, that they won't degrade, and that you will have no adverse reactions of any kind. And I think you've seen it yourself because you're talking about the product when you use it, to be able to formulate that way in a luxurious texture. And if I didn't tell you it had retinol and vitamin C in it, you wouldn't know, because it's just this beautiful, lightweight emulsion. To talk a little bit more about the studies themselves. That was the most important thing. We were very inclusive in our studies to make sure that we had participants whose skin was across all of the Fitzpatrick scale. We again decided in this particular study that we wanted to focus on the blemishes, texture, and tone. And so it was males and females in the study, age 13 to 35. And they had active blemishes or acneiform lesions at the time of the study, and it was conducted over an 8-week period. And so in studies, you will often see, they'll say, well, there's a statistical improvement, even if it's plus or minus, say, 3 to 5%. If you get to 10%, as Dr. LaFell mentioned, it's often referred to as a directional improvement. But we were seeing things like after an 8-week period, a 39.37% improvement in the global appearance of blemishes and a 41% improvement in texture, which is really the reduction of rough texture. Interestingly enough, we didn't see any difference in pore size or pore appearance after 4 weeks because we read at 4 and 8 weeks. And it wasn't something we really expected because, as you know, salicylic acid is really the OG ingredient for pore appearance. But we actually found a 22% reduction in pore appearance and pore size after 8 weeks. And so when we started to see these come back to us, we knew that we were really onto something, but it wouldn't have worked without the BioA3. And there were other biofunctionals that we looked at beyond cannabinoids, and they all failed. So we just going back to that. And again, understanding that it's more of a wingman for the active ingredients as opposed to the lead actor in the formula is what really allows these to be as efficacious as they are and such a pleasure to use.
That's so fascinating. I'm so excited to see that because I think oftentimes from the standpoint of, like, for example, acne, there's so much out there in terms of like what people can use or should use, or they're prescribed something, but there are so many like failure stories, right, with acne, because it's not one size fits all. And Dr. LaFell, maybe you could speak on this from the philosophical standpoint a little bit, because my understanding of acne is that there's very harsh treatments, you know, in place. For example, I remember when I was prescribed Accutane as a teenager, it completely freaked me out, you know? My dermatologist telling me, like, hey, you're going to have to get on Accutane. At that time, I was scared. So I can't imagine how it feels now if you're a teenager, for example, or even in your adulthood. My question really is, like, do you think that as we go further into dermatological sciences, that these kind of therapies and these innovations, for example, what you've created with Symphonic, I mean, do you think these will kind of replace the traditional ways of approaching things like acne?
Yeah, I think that it'll have an impact. I don't think it'll replace Accutane in people for whom it's indicated, right? Accutane is not a first step. And it's a serious drug, but it has changed lives. You know, over the years, I remember I started practice before Accutane existed. And when it was introduced, obviously side effects, the concerns, you know, were not trivial, but I've seen many lives, young lives, changed by the effects of Accutane. In fact, even nowadays, you know, if I pass someone on the street with really bad facial acne, my thoughts go directly to, does that person or that person's doctor know about the therapies that are available? But so much teenage acne and perioral dermatitis, adult acne, is much more mild than the type that you would need Accutane for. And so there's certainly a subset of individuals that will benefit from this non-prescription item. And, you know, it's not as though some of the other treatments, benzoyl peroxide, salicylic acid, are without side effects. You know, they're irritating and they require a fair degree of commitment to use regularly so that they can be optimally effective. So, you know, I'd like to think that this product will have a meaningful impact on especially young people with acne. I suspect as the product becomes more widely known in what is otherwise a very chaotic and busy environment in skin health, that it will have an impact.
I love that. And I think so as well, you know, as a consumer. And I agree with you. I think there's definitely, like, you know, value obviously there, you know, from the prescription side with Accutane. But I think the prescription and everybody getting on it, you know, it just kind of made me wonder, like, you know, are we going down this road of just over prescribing, you know, at this point, to where it's starting to scare people a little bit? Like you said, there are other effects. And I think sometimes with dermatology, I noticed this a lot, that the prescription strength that you get might not be, you know, the best for everything that, you know, everyone is experiencing. If you have cystic nodular acne, that's one thing. But if you're just falling on that spectrum, might be a good idea to consider your options, you know. And this is a phenomenal range of products. I just want to truly congratulate you both on creating something so amazing. And I'm really excited to see people starting to utilize, you know, this, because I think it would solve a lot of problems without going through the unnecessary, you know, side effects of other medications. So I'm a huge fan of this and I love learning about it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And for everyone listening, if you have any questions about anything related to Symphonic MD, please chime in and let us know. And we can definitely pass on your questions. But Dr. LaFell and Sherry, thank you so much. It has been an honor to host you.
Oh, our pleasure. It's been a blast. Thank you.
Thank you.